Okay. I'm going to get right into the Word. Always interesting because I really want to hear what God has to say to the church. And sometimes I wait, and I've told you this before, I wait a long time before I get a word. And it came to me yesterday, just bang, really loudly. And the word was, hold on. Hold on. How many people have been on a roller coaster? What do you do when you start climbing and you know that the drop is coming? You either grab the person beside you or you hang onto the bar really tight.
Or you put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care.
Once you realize you're secure and you can't get out, that's what you do. But usually, if it's your first time and you're not used to this roller coaster, you're a little apprehensive in the hangout. Or if you're driving with someone, I won't name any names, who this happens to be. They always have those handles right there at the right in front of you, right? I think I've worn mine down.
Oh, please.
I heard hold on. Hold on. Now, if you're watching the news or hearing what's going on, we are entering a season where people have to hang on. Let me just recap if you've kind of been living in a bubble. For me, it started, and I kind of just briefly alluded to this in my devotional, that there was a global, blatant attack on Christianity at the opening of the Olympics. Even the Muslim world reacted, but the Christian world reacted very strongly, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
It was pagan idolatry and licentiousness and sexual immorality just shoved in our face through the message of the gospel. Okay, so it was very blatant. And those who apologized for their actions did not apologize. They just kind of justified, well, we're an inclusive and tolerant society and blah, blah, blah. And that is the whole kind of social aspect of the degradation of society as we're living in it.
Right.
Also, if you're living in a bubble, you have no idea that full-out war has been declared in Israel.
Right.
And the United States has moved into position to defend Israel, praise God. But we are seeing before our eyes, possibly, many are saying,
right.
Gog and Magog, prophecy fulfilled, Ezekiel 38-39, where Russia, depending on your interpretation, Russia and Iran, countries to the north, are partnering and aligned to invade Israel.
Right.
We see the complete anti-Semitism that is rampant across our nation, across the world. And what I've learned in the last week is that newscasts have actually stopped reporting about anti-Semitism. There's so much of it, and it's so blatant that it's become acceptable, and news agencies are not even reporting it. It's the so-called subversive news agencies that are reporting and staying on top of this stuff. And so
it's in England and Ireland, there's riots and
everywhere schools. But even here in Toronto, there have been schools vandalized, firebombs thrown at them. There's been buses that drive the kids to school set on fire, and it's not even getting in the news. So two groups of people, I'll just be very forthright with you. There are the Jews, who are God's chosen people, under attack. We saw at the opening of the Olympics, there are Christian, God's chosen people, under attack. Okay, so it's not even somewhat hidden. It's, if you identify with God, you're under attack.
Right.
That's where we're at in 2024. The word I got was hold fast. Hold on. I put the scripture, I didn't. Revelation 2:25 was really where God took me right away. And I'm going to go all over the place, but I'm not going to take you there. I'm going to take you there as I preach, but you don't have to go there. Revelation 2:25. What you have, hold fast until I come. Okay? That's the message. Hold fast. Hold on. And the actual word for hold fast means to retain, to cling to firmly, to defend, to guard, to hold on. I want to ask you this morning, what you believe in, what you have put your faith in, are you willing to defend it? Are you willing to stand and hang on to it no matter how bad it gets? No matter how bad the persecution gets, no matter how much the world hates you, no matter how much they want to persecute you and make life miserable for you, are you willing to hold on? Only you can answer that. Okay? Only you can answer that. Is your faith secure in Christ? Are you there? Are you saying, I know in whom I have believed and I'm convinced that what I have entrusted to him, he's able to guard until that day he returns. Okay? That's Paul's testimony. Because it's going to get ugly. There is an attack on Christianity. There's an attack on the people of God. There's an attack on the nation of Israel because it represents the land of God. No matter where the Jews are at right now spiritually, okay, many of them, most of them probably don't believe in Jesus. But ultimately, God has set that land aside for himself. That's where he's coming back to set up his kingdom. And he will do it, regardless, though the nations conspire and rage against him, he will do it. Because he declared he will do it. And we're going to be part of that. And I really believe we need to encourage each other to hang on and persevere and press on. And so what I want to do today, three things, very simple sermon. Three things we need to hang on to. Last week I spoke on Mark 4, which is the parable of the sower. This week I'm going to start off with the parable of the sower from Luke. And Luke 8:15, and you can follow with me, but I have the scriptures written down. I told you last week that we need to deal with the stones in our heart. Or last time we met, 2 weeks ago. We need to deal with the stones in our heart. Those things that are tripping us up. Are stopping the word of God from going deep and taking root. We need to deal with those things. Yeah. Because, let me tell you straight up, if you do not have the word hidden in your heart, if you do not spend time in it, meditate on it, read it, get it in you, listen to it, you do not have the foundation upon which to stand in the tough times. Okay? Luke 8:15 says this, regarding the parable of the sower. The seed is the good soil, but the seed in the good soil, from the New American Standard. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Thus the word of God, number one, the word, the truth, the gospel of our salvation, does it have purchase in your heart? Does it have anchored roots in your heart? Is it what you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt? Is it the truth that you hang on to? Or are you like the preacher, the pastor I saw on TV, who the street preacher interviewed because she came out of her church and there was a gay pride flag above the church, and he said, so you call yourself a Christian church? And she says, yes, we are. So do you believe the Bible? Do you believe Jesus is the only way and that his word is true? Well, no, it's one of the ways. It's one of the ways. A Christian, quote, unquote, loosely used, says Jesus is one of the ways. That's not a Christian. That's not a Christian because the Bible is very clear. A follower of Jesus says there's only one way. He's the way, the truth, and life. There is no other way. There's no other way given to men and women on earth by which they must be saved. There's only one name. Okay? There's only one name. There's no other way. So any pastor, preacher, I don't care who it is, who preaches a different gospel is not worthy of listening to. They do not have the word of God anchored in their soul. Okay? Do we, is the seed planted in our hearts so securely that no one can pluck it out, that no storm or wind of doctrine that blows by can dislodge that from our heart? Do you believe what you believe? Are you convinced of what you believe? That's the question. That's the question of Luke that Jesus poses. There's only one good soil that produces fruit. That's the soil that has the word of God hidden in our heart. So the first hold fast is holding on to the word of God. Hold it fast. 1 Corinthians 15:1, you can just write these down. Paul says, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Do you know the gospel? Do you know the good news of Jesus Christ, that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief? I need a Savior. There's only one. His name is Jesus. Okay? There's only one. Do you know that gospel? Are you able to defend it? Are you able to articulate it? Right? If you can't, if you don't know it to the point where you can't share it with somebody, you don't know it. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you can't speak it, you don't have it anchored in your heart. It's just the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast. That's the message. Hold on to that which is true. Hold fast. Keep it close to your heart. Believe it. Get to know it so you can defend it. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. He keeps going. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. The gospel. Prophetic words. Friends, we are inundated with prophetic words. There's no shortage of prophetic words. I don't even want to put a number on it, but I would say most of them are not from God. The litmus test for a word from God is it is from the Word of God. And it confirms the Word of God. Okay? That's the test. We need to be very careful what we listen to. So number one, hold fast, literally, in those three scriptures I gave you. What are we holding fast to? Number one, the Word, the truth, the gospel. All of it. All of the Word of God. In other words, be discerning. Be discerning. Whatever blows in your way through the internet or through someone else or some meeting you attend, is it truth or is it leading astray? And you have Holy Spirit in you, who is the Spirit of truth. You don't need anyone to teach you, John says. Okay? When you hear something that's off the wall because it doesn't line up with the word, there should be a red flag go on and you're off in your spirit. Okay? It should go bloop. Holy Spirit's saying that's not the truth of Scripture. The truth of Scripture is our litmus test. That's number one. Are you holding fast to the truth? Number two, I'm going to take you to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verse 6. Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm until the end. What is he talking about? If we hold fast our confidence. Here it is. If we're courageous, the New Living Translation says. If we have courage, if we're open and frank and can boldly and freely with confidence and assurance before the public defend the hope of the gospel. Peter said, always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have. He's talking future tense. Do we believe not only in the truth of Scripture, but in the reality that Christ is coming back for a holy church, of which we are parts? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Okay. Lots of you are waiting, counting down the days. Some of you are stopped counting, you're just hoping it's today. We need to hope. We need to always hope. They lived in the reality. You know, if you read the Thessalonian church, they lived in the reality of Jesus coming back any moment.
Yeah.
We need to be like that. That's our hope. Hebrews 3:14. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance. Confidence. Very interesting word. The word is hypostasis. Maybe you're a doctor, you know what that means. But here's what it means in philosophy and religion. It's the underlying fundamental state or substance that supports all of reality. In other words, it's a fundamental truth. For instance, God is one. God is three in one. Jesus is God. It is amazing to me when I go and talk to people how many people don't believe that. It is a fundamental truth. Jesus Christ is God. Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. God sent his son, who was in very being exactly like him. Okay?
Amen.
Do you believe that? Can you stand on it? Can you prove it from Scripture? In the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God. The Word died for us. Okay? We need to believe and have this foundational truth that Jesus is the hope of the world, the Son of God, God Himself, who came down to rescue humanity from sin and death, which He accomplished very successfully. There's no other way, the Bible says. And our hope is not in ourselves to get us to heaven. Our hope is in the work of Christ to get us to heaven. Okay? Hebrews 4:14, therefore, since we have great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. This is a good one, friends. Are you able to confess without fear and without doubt that Jesus Christ is your hope and salvation? Are you able to say that to your worst enemy, to the person in your family who gives you the hardest time about religion and what you believe? Are you able to say, without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is my Savior and my hope? Mm-hmm. Are you able? Can you confess it boldly? This is what these texts are about. Confession of our hope. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I don't care what goes on planet Earth. It's not my home I'm passing through. I'm an alien in a foreign land. I belong to the kingdom of God. You don't believe it? Let me show you. 1 Corinthians 1:13. I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. Okay? That's my reality. I'm just an alien. I'm like, see you later, world. I'm passing through. I'm on my way up. Okay? That's where we're going. Can you boldly declare that? Because if you do, if you can do that, you will have a worldview that is radically different from the rest of the world.
Yep.
You won't be wrapped up in all the things of the world. We're not supposed to love the world or anything in the world. James says in chapter 4, if you love the world, it's enmity with God. You're an enemy of God if you love the world. I get in all kinds of things about this. But, you know, let me just talk about this real quickly without getting too controversial, if that's possible. The church are the called out ones. The church of Jesus Christ are called out saints. We are to be separate. I live in a community that I'm surrounded by separated saints who are Mennonites, okay? And they realize that they're separate. They're not of the world. I'm continually reminded every single day, this community has decided, and they take it very seriously, come out of her, my people, and be separate. Okay? That is what Jesus said. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Come out and be separate. We're not deferred with the world. The church is called out. We're not supposed to even have the world in our church. But we open the doors wide and we entertain them and we say, come on in, and we'll change our message so it's less offensive, and we'll get all kinds of people, unsaved people in the pews. The next thing you know, they're serving in the church, then they're totally unregenerate, and they're slowly, like churches in our city, having the leadership say, we need to put on stuff to attract other people, the unsaved in the church. That's not what church is for. Church is for the saved. We're supposed to come here and gather and encourage one another in the Lord and in the Scriptures. Okay? And then the unsaved come in and they hope that, you know, God opening their hearts, as they hear the Word of God, they get converted and repent.
Yep.
Okay? That's what the church is. It's not a club for the unsaved.
Right.
We're not entertainment. I digress. Hebrews 10:23. Just in case, the whole book of Hebrews, right? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Confession. Simple word. Confess. Fide. To believe. With belief. With, can I believe what I believe so much that I'm able to speak it out unashamedly with other people, no matter who. You know, my wife and I, we go, and she's amazing because her language does not change. When we're in public or in private, it's praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We can be in a room full of unregenerate people, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Like, she's just like that. Mm-hmm. There's no difference between her being in the world or her being in church. Her confession is true. She's been walking with Jesus. She's 9 years old. Okay? That's the reality. Am I different when I'm in the world than I am in church with other believers? Yeah. If I can't confess it, what did Jesus say? If you can't confess me before men, neither will my Father in heaven confess. Like, serious stuff. We need to be bold. We're called to be bold. We're called to be martyrs and witnesses. So, number one, are we holding fast to the truth? Number two, are we holding fast to the hope we have in Christ? Okay. Future hope. That's why we live and move and have our being, because we know we're going to see Him one day as He is, and we will be fully known. It'll be an amazing day. Number three, all from the book of Revelation. A very interesting book to the church. Faith in Christ and His return. Are we persevering till the end? Now, I want to take you to three churches very quickly. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. To the Pergamum church, the compromising church, we call it. I know where you dwell. Verse 13, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name, you hold fast my name, you hold on to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Wow. What a city. Crazy city. False teaching, false worship, sexual immorality. Antipas, who was martyred for his faith, my witness, my martyr, that's what it says, my faithful one who held on to the truth, my name, you hold fast my name. What is the name of Jesus? It is everything He represents. It's His being, it's His character, it's His work. When you read my name be praised, it's all of God's reality, His who He is, all that He does, His character, His attributes, and His work in salvation. You hold fast my name. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed to name him in public? Are you ashamed to name that you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that you've been redeemed and set free and born again by the Spirit of God, and you're alive in Christ, and you're no longer alive to the world, and I'm a new creation and everything? Are you ashamed of that, or are you able to say it and articulate it to the people you hang out with? That's what hold fast means there. I retain, I cling to, I defend it, I guard it, I hang on to. Nobody's going to steal it from me. That's a crazy church. They're involved with sexual immorality and idolatry and following people that are leading them astray, full of false teachers. Let's go to the next church, Revelation 2:25, which I showed you. It's the church of Thyatira, which is known as the tolerant church. Hey, the church, compromising churches, they allow all kinds of other practices, religious practices in their church, and they syncretize Christianity and the world's practices together, and they call it Christianity. We'll see that happening all the time. The next church, Thyatira, is the tolerant church, and he says in verse 25, hold fast until I come. Hold fast. What's going on in this church? That woman Jezebel, you got false prophets. You got people leading people astray. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray so they commit acts of immorality and eat sacrifice, things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent. She won't repent. Behold, I will cast her on a bed of sickness. You know what? If you're following those, you will get sick. This is the judgment of God for following after Jezebel's spirit. You'll get sick. She does not want to repent of her immorality. It's amazing to me when I read the book with these seven letters, and what do we see? We see false teaching and we see sexual sin.
Yeah.
And if I could sum up Church 2024, mm-hmm. it's sexual sin and false teaching. That's the condition of the North American church. I give tons of examples, but I won't. Behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness, verse 22, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. I say to you, verse 24, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and keeps my deeds, my commandments, keeps doing what I've asked him to do, until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He shall rule them. It's just amazing promise for those who hang on. Okay, faith in Christ. They're motivated by his return. Motivated by Christ himself, what he stands for, his truth, his teaching. And finally, the last one, Revelation 3:11, to the Philadelphia church, the church of love, brotherly love, the faithful church. I hope that's who we are. Let me just start in verse 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but a lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet and know that I have loved you, because you have kept my words of you have kept the word of my perseverance, my translation says. I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast. Hold on what you have, in order that no one take your crown. He overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. In churches, people are being led astray. They're being enticed into sexual immorality, just like in the days of Balaam. Okay? It's happening. But in every church, there's a remnant who's saying, absolutely not, I'm remaining true to God. I'm remaining true to his word. I'm remaining true to the salvation he offers. I'm remaining true to Jesus, who he is, and all he represents, all he's accomplished. That's where my faith is. That's what I'm believing. That's what I believe. Are you there? What do you need to do to get there? So as I'm asking God about all this stuff, Lord, what do you want to say? And it's hold on, hold on. The world's about to get crazy. There's about to be great uprising on the earth. Okay, I really believe that. Like I said, this war that's breaking out in Israel could be, I don't know, honestly, I don't know my eschatology well enough to systematically put it all in order, like some people think they have worked it all out. But I don't know where Gog and Magog is going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. Okay, I don't know when some of these scriptures are going to be fulfilled. I don't know when the, well, I do have a general idea. But I can't say that this great war that's about to happen in Israel, with the northern countries coming down and invading, is going to fulfill the prophecies of Ezekiel 38-39. I don't know that. But I do know this, that it's going to happen, because God said it's going to happen. And this could be a precursor to it happening. This could be all setting up for the great battle. That means, friends, we're close.
Amen.
We could be living in the age when Antichrist is right here on planet Earth, and many, many people are saying we are. And if that's the case, with the one world government and the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and all these other global organizations, and we saw it, the global organization called the Olympics, thanks to Christianity, we saw it. We know we're up against something. Something's about to shift. That pretty much represented Europe, by the way. Europe is a wasteland. It used to be, you know, you think of England, where all the great reformers came from, and great revivals of the past, and here we are, and it's been taken over by other religious groups, and Christianity's, the churches are empty. That's where we're at. In North America, friends, the churches are empty. We have politics in the States. We don't know where anybody stands on anything. I'm sorry, but Trump is not our savior. I said that before. Definitely not Kamala Harris. Okay? Listen, if you watch what's going on in the States, it's ugly. Nobody knows who to believe, because we're all lying. We're living in really precarious times. There's one truth we got to hang on to. the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth is laid out in the Word of God. Amen. And the truth is He's coming back and He's going to fix it all.
Hallelujah.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Okay? The Word of truth we hang on to. The confession of our hope and faith in Christ and His return. So, as I'm getting all this downloaded, God says, go to Psalm 23. You guys know it well. We know
yes.
Psalm 23 really well. To me, Psalm 23 is a confession
yes.
of holding on to Jesus. Did you see Revelation 2 where it says, you hold my name, my faith, my witness, my faithful. And then you go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Can you confess that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I don't care what's going on planet Earth. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't need a thing. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care if the whole economy collapses. If I lose my house, if I lose everything I own, I don't care. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Period. Okay, that's where it starts. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's called peace. He's my peace. He leads me beside quiet waters. What a beautiful picture. There's no chaos, quiet water. It's quiet. You know, you can picture yourself laying on a blanket on the side of a stream, looking up at the trees blowing in the wind. He restores my soul. Inner peace. Okay? I can get all anxious and nervous, but Jesus, come and restore my soul in your peace. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. It's the shepherd. I'm just going to follow him wherever he leads. I'm just going to follow for his name's sake, not for me. I'm not making a name for me. I'm making a name for him. Okay? He's the one who's going to get me there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. Take me right into the middle of the storm. I don't care. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Peace, restoration, comfort. Oh my goodness, is there anything the world is chasing that isn't here in Christ? Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. No matter what they do, even if they lock me up, I'm still going to get what I need. Because He's my supply. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I'm blessed. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's it. That's the truth. David is focused on the Lord. And he's so focused on the Lord, he's focused on the future with the Lord. The same as what the writers of the New Testament say. It's a beautiful song. It's an encouragement to hang on to Jesus. David had a heart after God. Do you have a heart after God? Is your heart soiled receiving the truth of who God is as revealed in His Word? I just want to encourage you. Get to know Jesus. Get to know the Word. Because He is the Word. I had a very interesting illustration just to close. If you watch the news, I'm a canoer. I know there's some canoers and kayakers in the room. In the last couple weeks, there have been some pretty serious accidents in the Grand River because of all the rain we've received. And 2 weeks ago, there were two ladies who lost their lives in the river. They were just floating down the river on a two-person tube. And they didn't see the falls ahead, and they fell off the falls and got swirled up. And they didn't wear life jackets, so they drowned, and they found their bodies downstream. I thought, that's a really vivid image of complacency, of just casual life. Many Christians just floating down the river of life and enjoying and not really giving much thought to what's important. And then just the other day, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, there's another story. After a really heavy rain, of two kayakers who were rescued from the raging waters of the Grand River. They were rescued, they weren't killed. They were experienced kayakers and they had the life jackets on. Okay? They had the knowledge and information they needed to navigate the waters, but even when it got too rough, they had the life jacket on. Unlike the others who were just casually strolling with no life jacket. Right? It's a terrible thing to even maybe mention it, because two people lost their lives and two families were terribly messed up and broken. But it's a wonderful picture of these guys are well trained and these guys just kind of floating down the stream of life, looking for a good time. And I don't want anybody in the church to just be floating down, right? Leaning on our own understanding, just letting the wind and the waters carry us. The message is hold fast to what you know. Be prepared. Get filled up with the instructions on how to live life as the raging waters are just washing all over and catching people in it, and people are falling in the waters out there and they're literally drowning, or they're waving their arms, they don't even know how to be rescued. And mediocre, lukewarm Christians are going by and I don't know the answer. Well, I kind of heard about it, but I'm afraid to tell you. Hold on to Jesus. Doesn't matter how rough the water gets, you're going to survive. Whether you survive on this earth or not, doesn't matter. That's not our goal. Future focused. I'm future focused. Eternity with Jesus. I know where I'm going. Okay? I know that I've made the decision to get me there. He's my anchor. He's my hope. He's my crutch. He's what I lean on in the middle. I'm not going to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. I'm not going to be blown and moved around by the seas. I'm anchored in Christ. Okay? And I know many of you are too. And this is all just an encouragement to say the world's getting really crazy. And your target, if you fly the flag of Jesus high, you're a target. Especially as it heats up. If you identify with Israel, you're a target. Okay? And it's important that we know in whom we have believed, that we know in the hope we have, and that we're holding fast to all the truth and all the sermons and all the word we've been reading, that we hold it and say, never will I deny you. Okay? No matter what. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that our hope is in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a certainty in our heart, that we can be bold as a lion and confess openly because you're in us, that we know in whom we have believed, that we are convinced that you will get us to the finish line, that you will complete the work you started. Lord, that you are the God who never leaves and never forsakes, that you, God Almighty, are the one who promises victory, that we are more than conquerors through Christ, that we are the ones who will reign victorious with you because we have been bought and paid for, and we have been held secure by you. We thank you, Lord, that you can keep us from falling, that you, Lord, can equip us with everything we need to navigate these waters that we're in. I thank you, Lord, that right here in this book is available to us the words of life that will continue to give us life. Oh God, give us a hunger for you and a hunger for your word, and may we hang on to the truth of your promises. And Lord, may we even get with other believers who can encourage us. Even when we're weak, Lord, in our faith, you would send someone along to encourage us and walk with us. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided everything that we need to make it to the end. And you said we will. And so we hang on to that, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over each one of us, Father, as we declare in our hearts and confess you as Lord and Savior to the very end. We will reach the end because we believe what you say in your word. Jesus, take over. We are a shepherd. Get us right to the finish line. For your glory, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.